Welcome to Cradles and Candles, a podcast where we explore the magic in every day. I'm your host, Elowen Sage, and whether you are a parent, caregiver, or simply curious about your spiritual journey, this is a space to learn, reflect, and connect. So light a candle, take a breath, and let's step into magic together. So this is the second episode of my podcast, and again, I'd like to thank everyone who listened to the first podcast. I think there's about 16 listeners, which doesn't seem like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but to me, that's far more than I thought I would ever have listened to the podcast to begin with. So before we dive into today's topic, I did want to clear up a little mistake from the last episode. I did mention that the harvest moon happens in November, but it does actually happen in October. Thank you for giving me grace there. It's all part of the learning process together. I really couldn't tell you why I said November. In all of my notes, October is written, and it was actually my friend Dina who reached out to me and pointed out that mistake, and I just felt like I needed to kind of clear it up in this episode so that everyone knows that the harvest moon is in October, not November. So with that being said, let's now talk about something I think we all wrestle with, which is the chaos of everyday life. Between work, family responsibilities, errands, and just trying to keep up with everything, it can feel like there's no time left for magic or spiritual practice, let alone yourself in general. But here's the beautiful truth. Magic doesn't have to mean elaborate rituals or hours of preparation. And at its core, magic is all about intention. It's about the small, mindful choices that connect us back to spirit and to the world around us, and then ultimately to ourselves. Everyday magic can be as simple as stirring intention into your morning coffee or your tea. It might be adding a bit of gratitude, some peace, or just energy in your day as you stir that in. You could choose to stir cinnamon into your coffee for protection or honey to just sweeten up your life. And if you're not a coffee or tea drinker, it could also just be simply lighting a candle at night, taking a moment to ground yourself after all of the noise and chaos the day had brought. Even in stressful moments, a single deep breath or just a quiet affirmation like, I am centered, I am calm, can shift your energy in powerful ways. These little practices might seem simple, but they create little ripples. You start off simple, and then you slowly add more and more throughout your life. They remind us that magic is always with us, waiting to be noticed in the small, ordinary moments, which to me are the most magical moments you can find. So with that said, before we go further into the topic of today, I did want to do a brief check-in on just what's kind of coming up, what's going on now, and then do a little bit of an oracle card read from a new deck I had just gotten. And so this coming weekend on the 21st, as we move into the new season, we move into the turning of the wheel and we welcome Mabon, which is also known as the autumn equinox. This is something that some people might refer to as the Witch's Thanksgiving, and it is a time for us to pause, reflect, and just give thanks to all that we've harvested in our lives, both physically and spiritually up to this point. At Mabon, day and night are perfectly balanced, such as it is when we cross the turning of the wheel at Yule, and it reminds us to seek the same sense of balance within ourselves. So balancing that good versus that darker part, the light versus the things that are unknown. It's a season of gratitude, but also a season of release. So just as the trees are starting to have their leaves change and they let go, we're invited to let go of what no longer serves us as well and make space for what is ultimately to come. Mabon is the second of three harvest festivals. It falls between Lammas and Samhain and is traditionally marked with feasting on seasonal foods. Some of these foods could be apples, pumpkins, all types of squashes, different types of grains, and then some wine. Altars typically are decorated in warm autumn colors. So think your beautiful burnt oranges, some browns, golden yellows, and then even like a cranberry purple. And symbols of abundance, such as corn, the cornucopia, nuts, or gourds, are all a part of this as well. It's a powerful time for protection magic. It also is a great time to start divination and then just setting your intentions for the darker half of the year that is to come. Because the following Sabbath is Samhain, and it is when the veil is at its weakest. And so setting those intentions and getting prepared for that part of the year is a really strong aspect of Nabon. So this equinox is also seen as a gate of power. It is a threshold where we consciously align with the cycles of nature. And here, the lessons that we learn are all about sacrificing, which leads to renewal. So we're trying to sacrifice things that no longer serve us so that we can have aspects of renewal in our life. It reminds us that endings and beginnings are always woven together as one. So when something ends, something is ultimately going to begin as well. Many associate Nabon with different types of deities of the harvest and also the cycles of life or death, such as Demeter, Persephone, or the Welsh figure Mabon Ap Vedran. These archetypes reflect both the joy of abundance and the mystery of descent into the darker months, so our winter months that are quickly approaching us. So whether you're hosting a feast, offering thanks, or just simply trying to quietly walk in nature, Mabon is an amazing invitation to celebrate what we've gathered, find our inner balance, and then just prepare to step gracefully into the shadow half of the year and prepare to let go of what no longer serves us. And so with that said, I would really like to do an oracle card pull for the upcoming Mabon season, to see what lessons could be learned and what information we can draw into us for this upcoming season. And so today I'm going to be using an oracle card deck called Crystal Portal. It's a new one that I got. It's by Moonstruck Crystals. I got it in Salem and I'm so excited to use it. I've used it a couple times since getting it, but I'm really excited to use it during the podcast and kind of see what it gives us. I'll explain more about the store I got it from and everything when we get to that section. We're just going to shuffle this and kind of just ask for a message for this upcoming Mabon season and what we can gain out of this. Oh. And the card I pulled was Patience. It is actually an hourglass and it connects with the crystal howlite. And I think this is an amazing card to pull for Mabon because Mabon is all about patience and it's about finding that inner balance and letting go what no longer serves us. And sometimes it takes patience to be able to figure that out. So this card is a gentle reminder to take a deep breath, relax, and recharge. You may be feeling stressed and or have been pushing yourself to the limit lately, so you need to slow down and find your sense of patience. Just like the sands in the hourglass take time to cascade down, remember that great things take time to unfold. Take a step back for a moment, trust in the process, and know that good things come to those who hustle hard and rest hard. And so I think the message we can pull from that, especially when we talked about Mabon, is that one aspect of Mabon is preparing for the darker season. And it could be just taking a step back, letting yourself rest, letting yourself heal, and know that you've gained so much abundance in the lighter part of the year that in the darker part of the year, we need to let go of some of the stress we hold and allow that rest to come. And recognize the abundance and how it will continue to formulate into our lives as long as we allow ourselves time to rest. Continue to work hard, but allow yourself that rest as well. So with the information of Mabon done and out of the way and the Oracle card reading, let's start diving into the actual episode. So today we are going to be talking about how to find magic in everyday life, specifically when we are feeling very busy and chaotic, and how we can just find those little glimmers of magic when things get a little too overwhelming. I'll also be sharing some reflections from my recent trip to Salem. We'll start off on that aspect because Salem did give me a fresh perspective on weaving magic into my daily moment. And it did show me a lot of different ways to weave that magic into different moments. So when we start to notice those small everyday moments of intention, we do begin to realize that magic doesn't only live in the big rituals or the special occasions or the turning of the wheel. It's woven into the fabric of our daily life. But we also need to be intentional in weaving it into our daily life. And that's something I felt so strongly during my recent trip to Salem. Salem is a place that's drenched in history, energy, and just magic overall. But what struck me most wasn't any big ritual or the tourist attractions. It was the way magic just showed up in the little things. The way people decorated their spaces, the way some of the stores had incense burning, how the conversations were overheard in the stores or the cafes or on the street, and even the atmosphere of just Salem in general. It all had little bits of magic throughout. And just like I said in the beginning, stirring intention to a cup of tea, Salem had all of these different layers of intention in every corner. And experiencing that really reminded me of how magic can both be extraordinarily and completely ordinary at the same time. So let's talk about my trip. I'm going to talk about what I saw, what I felt, and then just some lessons I brought back with me. And then we'll kind of dig deeper into the aspects of how we can weave magic into our everyday lives. So this past weekend, I was finally able to go to Salem with my husband and my daughter. And I will say it was not exactly what I expected, though I didn't entirely know what to expect. In my head, I pictured a small, quaint town with some historic shops, maybe a cobblestone street. We did not think there was going to be a lot of room for us to navigate with a 2.5-year-old. And when we arrived, I was very surprised to see how modern and built up the city actually felt, and that it wasn't anything like I pictured at all. It was more of a shopping center than it was a small little historic town. But even with that surprise, the experience was deeply magical and everything that I expected it to be, minus how it looked. Walking through Salem gave me a new fire inside. It gave me a new spark to dive even deeper into my path and my practice and share it with everyone on this podcast. And there's something about being in a place so steeped in both history and energy that just shifts something within you. And so I'm going to just talk about some of my favorite shops, some of the things I took away, and just some things I recommend if you are ever going to take a trip to Salem. So I will say one of my favorite shops wasn't a magic shop at all. It was actually, I'm going to try my best to say this correctly, Kakawa Chocolate House. They had the most incredible drinking chocolate I have ever had. And it wasn't quite hot chocolate because it was thick and it was called an elixir. So it was their chocolate elixirs, and it was rich, warming, and so ritualistic in itself, which made it so amazing. I could see this being used in ritual as just a drink or even just making a small cup and sitting outside by a fire in the fall and just letting the elements overcome you. I am disappointed that I did not pick up a bag of their elixir drinking chocolate. But when I got home the other day, I did look online and you can order them from Salem and get it shipped to your house in like 2 to 4 days. And I'm contemplating ordering some to have at my house so that I can have a chance to relive that ritualistic moment and just take little tiny bits of time to just use that to center myself, because it was so grounding and they had so many different types. And it was an experience that I haven't had before. And it just reminded me that magic doesn't always have to be incense or candles. It can simply be the act of simping on something with intention and letting yourself be fully present, which I did in that moment. And that was one of the first shops we went to on our trip there. And I wish we would have went more. One of my other favorite shops was a little store called The Coven's Cottage. This was a little shop that had such a grounding presence. It was the kind of place where the air just feels older than the walls themselves. It had a feel to it that was just so welcoming, and it carried this ancient and peaceful vibe, a sort of energy that just makes you want to linger and breathe it in. And it was hard for me not to want to stay there longer, but it was a small shop and they had a line. So I had to kind of hurry in, look at what I wanted to look at, and hurry out. But it was such a strong shop and one of like my top favorite ones that I went to. Another one that we visited multiple times, just because it was very large and it had a wide variety of magical items, that it also had interesting things that my husband also liked. It had different shot glasses, hats, shirts, more things that would lend itself to being interested in people who might not be into magic but still want to enjoy Salem, was the Moon's Gift Shop. It was just very unique in what it held because it had a nice mixture of items for those who were more on the witchy magical side, and then stuff for people who weren't but still wanted to experience Salem and see what it was like and get some souvenirs or items that would remind them of their trip. And so that was definitely a must-see, probably the best gift shop that we went to at Salem. And then next to that is a little store called Stardust. Now, this one wasn't on the main strip of Salem. We actually had to walk a little bit out to get this one, but I'm so happy we did because it was especially unique because everything in that store is handcrafted with intention by a second degree high priestess. And so they explain from the candles to the soaps, each item that she created was crafted with personal energy and authenticity. It was made on specific days under specific moon cycles to really align that intention and that energy, which was something I don't think any other shop in Salem really had. But overall, the store that I absolutely captured my heart from the minute I walked in was the Enchanted Shop. And from the moment I stepped in, there was such a deep connection. They had incense burning right at the front. They had an intention bowl. They had an area where you could pull a tarot card for a reading to take with you to help guide you through your day. And overall, it was just peaceful. It was welcoming. And the energy there is honestly hard to put into words. If you have to make a trip to Salem, I would truly recommend checking this store out because it is a must-see to me, and the energy was just beyond what I felt in any other store. That is where I actually got the new Oracle card deck that I use today, and it was in this little back room. I had checked out the whole front room, and I walked into this back room where they had all their Oracle and tarot card decks and the books, and the minute I walked through the doorway, this Oracle card deck was sitting on a shelf and it just immediately drew me to them. It was like a pull that I couldn't avoid. And I saw them. I looked at them, immediately put all of my stuff down, and then went back outside where my husband was waiting with my 2.5-year-old and told them that he had to come into the store because I was going to be in there longer than I thought I would. He had originally stayed out thinking I was going to stay in for like 5-10 minutes like I was with all the other stores, but I was going to be in here for a good 30 minutes or longer, which I was. And so I dragged him in to look at it with me because I was so excited and had told him, this is the best store here. I don't need to see any other stores. I didn't end up getting a lot of items from this store, but there were a ton of items I did want to get. But the two things I did get was a cauldron, which I have been looking for, I believe, for like 2 or 3 years now. And I finally got one for my altar. And then this beautiful Orc card deck. And they also had a tarot card deck there, but I've always been drawn to Oracle card decks. So I picked that one just because that is my divination of choice. But if you had to pick one or two places to go as of right now, if you went to Salem, I would recommend the Chocolate House to get their drinking chocolate and the Enchanted Shop. Those two really made the trip special for me. So other than that, just different things that we went and looked at is a little shop called Black Craft Shop and Coffee. They were amazing coffee. It was like our go-to place. We went there like 3 or 4 times just because it was an interesting place, and my husband really liked the vibe there. Their store was full of unique, edgy items, along with a little coffee shop in the back. If you're into like metal type style clothing and just items, this is probably the best store for you to get stuff from. And honestly, it did remind me that even an ordinary morning cup of coffee can carry magic if you approach it with intention. This store really strived on their coffee. They mixed intention in every single cup that they made, and you could feel that. You had to wait in a line just to be able to order your coffee, which says something because it means they take their time and they're putting intention into it. So overall, Salem really did show me that everyday things such as shops, drinks, and even souvenirs can become a part of a very big spiritual practice when we choose to see them in that way. Even very simple things can be spiritual and magical, even if it's picking out a souvenir for something or for someone. If you put intention into it, it can become a ritual of its own, and it can become a bigger part than just picking out a souvenir. So overall, beyond the shops, I thought Salem held a great space for a lot of powerful energy and history. They had a lot of museums, a lot of different tours. The Peabody Museum was the one that I thought was the best for the Salem Witch Trials. It had a very moving exhibit within it. And you could also walk down a little outside of Salem to see the Witch Memorial, which was a somber but deeply important place to visit. It let me reflect and also be grateful to stand in those spaces, remembering the lives lost and the lessons history continues to teach us, which is a very powerful thing to remember, that history is always ongoing and always there to teach us a little bit something. And that's something I really took away from visiting Salem and being able to see the Salem Witch Trials exhibit, and then the Witch Memorial. The other place we visited was the Satanic Temple, which was another very unique stop. It was a little bit of a walk away from the main town, but it did bring me to a different part of Salem that felt very beautiful and magical in its own way, especially traveling there. That was a place that my husband was very interested in and enjoyed visiting. And even my daughter enjoyed visiting. She got to sit in one of the chairs up in the second floor. And we have the most adorable picture of her sitting in a chair with the biggest smile ever. There was also so many places that we didn't get to see, such as the Witch History Museum and all of the walking tours. They had so many walking tours that we wanted to go to and we wanted to check out. But with a 2-year-old, it just made it a little bit tricky. And that just means that me and my husband have to go back, maybe without the kids. But honestly, I wouldn't have changed bringing my daughter, because seeing Salem through her eyes and watching her joy was simply priceless. I do dream about going back with just my husband, but being able to enjoy the time and seeing her smile and just seeing her excited about something like this was just wonderful. And I know someday me and my husband can dive even deeper into the experience and see what we maybe were able to miss out on this time, but look forward to planning a trip in the future to kind of see what we can experience the next time. And that's what I love about reflecting on this trip. It reminds me that magic doesn't have to be perfect. It was hard to see when I was there because I had an image in my mind, but I really truly started to appreciate the experience on the drive back home and the day after we had gotten back home. Sometimes that magic looks like a mixed tour or a sticky toddler hand trying to get Play-Doh everywhere but where it needs to go. And sometimes it could just be a drinking chocolate and a peaceful shop that you stumble upon. Salem taught me that the heart of magic is finding it in those in-between spaces, those spaces that are not perfect, in between the routines, the detours, and even all of the chaos, and being able to set that intention to see past the chaos and past the craziness of life. Which brings me back to the bigger theme of this podcast, weaving magic into every day. So you don't have to go to Salem to feel that, though I highly recommend taking a trip there at least once. But you can create that same spark right at home, in your kitchen, if you take a morning walk or an evening walk, or just simply in your bedtime routines. And that's exactly what I want to talk about next. And I think that's something so many of us struggle with. This idea that magic has to be big, it has to be elaborate, you need to have it reserved for special occasions like the rituals that you have for the full moon or the Sabbath. But the truth is, the most powerful magic is the kind that we weave into our everyday lives. So I want to share some ways that over the last, I would say, 6-7 years, I've learned, and that I'm still learning, to bring magic into my ordinary moments of life and just kind of help you learn how you can innately make the path yours and make it special to you and fit into your daily routines, because they're very unique to you and you need to be able to fit them into what suits you within your day. And so the first thing I'm going to kind of hit on is morning rituals with intention. We all have a morning ritual, even if it is a 2-minute morning ritual of throwing your clothes on quick and running out the door to get to work. Or some people have like a 2-hour long ritual in the morning. And so trying to fit intention into that is incredibly important, because that's one way you can fit magic into your everyday. For me, mornings can feel chaotic, especially as a parent. Now that my daughter is about 2.5 years old, the chaos is a little less. It's more limited. Me and my husband have come up with a plan that works for both of us. And she's able to take care of herself a little bit more than when she was a 1-year-old. I am just a morning person in general. So waking up doesn't bother me. I'm good waking up early. I typically wake up around 4:30 in the morning. But what does bother me is trying to fit everything into the morning, because I've got a long list of everything I want to get done. Because I'm a mom, most of my things that I get done need to be done in the morning, because that is the only time I have to myself. Because when I get home from work, we are cooking dinner. We're playing with our daughter. Me and my husband are trying to have time together. I'm not trying to record this podcast. So after work, I don't have time for anything most of the time. So I try to fit it all in the morning. That involves getting my workout in, making my breakfast, getting ready for work, getting my daughter ready to go to daycare. And sometimes it even includes feeding the cat or feeding the dogs, or just the everyday chaos of things that we don't expect. This becomes even more difficult when something gets in the way. Like sometimes work needs me to go in early. Like tomorrow, I have to be in there for 6:30 in the morning, which is going to mess up my morning routine. Sometimes my daughter wakes up earlier than normal. She typically wakes up around 7, or when I'm done with everything, I go in and wake her up. On the rare occasion, she'll be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not going to be able to get my things done that I need to. So instead of waiting for the perfect quiet time that rarely ever comes, I started turning my morning routine into a ritual. It starts before I work out. When I wake up, I go into our sunroom where we have all of our exercise equipment, and I do a brief breathing exercise as I stretch. I breathe in intention for my day to try and calm myself, to wake up myself. Sometimes I say affirmations. Sometimes I breathe and I'm trying to just stay awake because I'm half asleep still. But I still do those breaths and I still ground myself and connect. And then after I do my workout and I get all of that stuff done, I go and I make my morning coffee. And when I'm making my coffee, I stir cinnamon into my coffee and I'll stir it clockwise if I want to invite energy and motivation into my day. And I'll stir it counterclockwise if I'm just feeling heavy and I feel like I need to release some of that heaviness in my day. So if I'm having a really rough start in the morning, my workout didn't work the way I wanted to, maybe just everything is going wrong, I'll use a counterclockwise stirring motion. And then at the end, I will make a banishing pentagram over top of my coffee just for blessing and to release and banish any negative energy that might be there from the day prior, from the night's sleep, or anything etc. like that. So sometimes what I'll also do, especially on a day where I just feel like it's going to be harder or I need some more motivation, or sometimes I just need a little boost in myself, I'll whisper a little affirmation into the cup before I drink it. Sometimes it's as simple as, today, I will move through the world with ease. Today, this morning, it was to be my true self. And so just little affirmations that just set the stage for me to have a magical day, to have a good day, to bring that intention from the very beginning. And it sounds small, but when you do start your day with intention, it does shift the whole energy around your morning. I find that when I don't do these little things, I have a harder day. I have a harder time focusing. I have a harder time believing in myself. And sometimes I'm just in a downright bad mood when I don't. And so your morning routine really does play a strong aspect into this. And this is only a part of my morning routine. Some of the other parts of the morning routine I have in other aspects of this discussion where we're going to hit them. I also do a meditation in the morning and I invite all the elements into my day and I do an oracle card pull. But it's important to understand that I didn't start with it all put together. I started with this one piece, my breath in the morning and stirring intention into my coffee. And sometimes that's the best way to start, very small. And so the next thing, which kind of leads me into my meditations in the morning, is creating at least one sacred space at your home. It does not need to be an elaborate altar. It doesn't need to be anything big. It doesn't need to have amazing tools on it or magical regalia. It can be something very, very simple. And having that something simple helped me create a little place for me to go to and just my sacred space in the house, a place where I can escape to, even though it's very small. And over the years, it did go from a tiny little bookshelf in the corner of my old house to being inside a secretary's desk, to them being on a little side table on a bookshelf, to now being in our sunroom where all the exercise equipment is next to where the cat litter is. But it's my area. I have my craft table there. I have all my oracle card decks and my tarot card decks. I have my little morning altar, and then I have my ritual altar. And so it's important to understand that even if you only have a space for a candle and an incense burner, that can be your sacred space. That can be your altar to escape to. And so for mine, like I said, it's just a small table in the sunroom. That's my morning altar. It's right next to my ritual altar, but it's where I can sit and meditate. And after I do my morning workout, sometimes after I do my breakfast, I go in there. I have something to represent each element on the table. So for air, I have a small incense burner. I have a red candle for fire. I have a shot glass full of water for the element of water. And then I have a selenite for earth. And then a little pentagram charm that I got. I think that fell off a necklace years ago, but that's what I use for earth on that. And so they're not amazingly elaborate things. It's what I have at hand, and it's what I've used for a while to make just my little makeshift morning altar. And I try to do 5 to 10 minutes of a meditation. Sometimes it's only 3 minutes if I'm running a little late. And sometimes it doesn't even happen at all, especially if I am feeling a little lazy in the morning after my workout and I just want to go on the couch and watch TV. Sometimes I still just don't do it. And those days I have a harder time. But then once I get through it and I tell myself to do it, I'm so grateful I did because I'm bringing magic into my day. And if you start these small little things, you'll slowly start to see that shift, that when you don't do it, your day doesn't feel as amazing as it does when you decide to take the time to do it. And sometimes life is just hard. And it's okay if you choose not to do it. Don't beat yourself up if you don't, because there's nothing wrong. It is your path. And if you don't feel like doing a little ritual or meditation, then don't. Follow your gut and your intention, because maybe not doing that meditation or that little ritual aspect of your morning is for your highest good. So respect that and allow that to happen. But once I do my meditation and I call each element to guide me through my day, I try to finish with either a tarot card pull or an oracle card pull just to guide me through my day. And sometimes that will happen at work, again, if I am running out of time. And so another thing that I do to bring magic to my everyday life is I keep some things at work. I have an oracle card deck tucked away in my desk just so if I'm having a hard day or I didn't get to do it in the morning, I'm able to do it when I'm at work. I said tomorrow morning I have to go in for 6:30. Chances are I'm not going to be able to do this whole ritual tomorrow morning. And I know that. And so I'll be prepared to do part of it when I'm at work and I have some downtime. So be flexible in your practice and be flexible with when you can and cannot do things, because sometimes that's just how life goes. Nothing's perfect, and the gods and the goddesses know that, and they're not judging you for it. So don't judge yourself. So my next thing that we can do that I slowly started to do, again, I'm not great at it, is just being elementally aware. So being aware of the elements that surround us. One of the simplest practices that I picked up primarily when I was in Salem, because I did this more often than I thought, is just noticing the elements. And that trip reminded me how grounding it is to just pause and feel connected to what truly all around you. And so now I try to take a moment when I'm outside, simply walking to my car, or even if I get a second to stand on the porch, I try to notice the wind on my face, the sun or the moon overhead, the earth beneath my feet as I walk. And it's such a simple thing, but it does remind me that I'm connected and that I'm not separate from nature or from the magic of the world, and that I'm always connected to it. And it's just a reminder that it's there. Sometimes this is just me admiring the sunset as I drive to work, or sometimes just smelling the air, especially as fall approaches. And these small things, again, just connect and ground me to the earth and the elements around me, which invites that magic and the spirituality in my day from the start to follow through till the end of the day when I go to bed. And so our next topic is just rituals in routine. So I used to think rituals have to be a big production. I studied this, and like the first year I thought every single time if I wanted to be magical, it had to be this big circle casting and a spell and a craft. And I realized it doesn't need to be amazing. I don't need to be chanting or have candles everywhere or incense smoking up my entire room. And I learned this over time. And I've learned that everyday chores can also become magical. And it's something that I'm trying to work on. And some things that you can do that you already have a routine on daily, you can turn into rituals. And we'll talk more about that next week. But for example, when you cook dinner, light a candle. You can always say a blessing over the food. You can thank it for nourishment or just nourishing you and your family. And then when you clean, you can put incense or herbs into the water or the cleaning to give more intention into the cleaning of your house. You can put on music that makes you feel alive and imagine that you're not just sweeping away the dust, but you're sweeping away stagnant energy. And these are all little things that I've been trying to get better at incorporating into my daily routine, but that you can also try. Find little ways that your chores can become magical so that the chaos doesn't overtake you. And sometimes it will, and that's okay. Not everyone is perfect. Not every moment is magical. And sometimes you just need to get it done. But if we can incorporate more magic into these little moments of chores and daily activities, it might just make them a little bit easier too. These small shifts will help remind us that the mundane and the magical don't have to be separate worlds. And I hope that you'll work towards incorporating more of these magical moments, just as I'm trying to incorporate more into my everyday tasks. And as I grow with this, I hope that we can share a little bit of things that we both add to our daily lives to bring in more magic and kind of share ideas of what you do and what I do to make each other stronger. So going off of that, gratitude as spell work. Gratitude is just a powerful thing in general. And I think more people need to take a step back and just realize what they are grateful for. But it's also just a powerful practice for me in general. At the end of the day, even when things are feeling overwhelming, I do try to name at least three things I'm grateful for. And sometimes I need to do this in the morning because I'm just too tired to at night. Or sometimes I just wake up in a mood and I need to remind myself of what I'm grateful for. Sometimes this can just be you thinking it, saying it out loud, or some people might even need the journal. I go in and out of journaling myself, and I feel like sometimes it's something I need to do or I have to do, but it's not always for me, and it doesn't always resonate with me. And that's important to recognize. Just because people on Instagram show journaling or elaborate rituals or amazing altars, it doesn't mean it's needed or realistic. If journaling feels right, find what works for you in your practice. But like I've said, your path is innately yours, so make it authentic to you. It doesn't have to be anything big. Sometimes I'm just saying that I'm grateful for my daughter's laughter, or I'm grateful for a quiet 5 minutes I got to myself. But just remember that you can treat gratitude as a kind of spell work. You can simply light a candle and say, I'm calling in more abundance and joy for the future. You can find a peaceful place to do this as a nightly basis or be in front of your altar. Or it could just simply be beside your bed before you fall asleep. But make it magical in your own sense. Make it a magical moment for your day and invite magic of gratitude in your day and watch it fill your cup magically throughout a lifetime, because there's so many little things that we can be grateful for that sometimes we just overlook. And so I've got two more practices that we can do, and then we'll try and close this podcast up. I know it's running a little bit longer than I typically said that I wanted to try and make it, but we just had a lot of information to go through. So the next thing is moon phases in daily life. Another really simple way to just weave magic into daily life is simply working with the moon. And that does not mean you have to track every astrological detail or you need to understand every single cycle of the moon. It just means maybe knowing the basic phases and how they can shift your sense or how you can kind of set your intentions based off of them. And sometimes it might look like just the last minute new or full moon. And I know that I'm not the best at keeping note on when the cycles of the moons are. And I am only just starting to incorporate more of the waxing and the waning moons into my math, into my path, because for the longest time, I was only working with the full moon and then slowly added the moon. So take it slow and at your own pace. But also know that the moon plays such a powerful role in daily magic, and it's always there. It's always powerful, and it's always willing to aid you whenever you call on it. So some examples of how you can do this is on the waxing moon, we can start new projects or focus on growth. On the waning moon, maybe focus on more releasing aspects, letting go of that stress or setting intentions to break an unhelpful pattern. And just remember that this is a rhythm to flow with instead of feeling like you have to create all the structure yourself. The structure is already there, so fit it into what's already given to you. Don't try and recreate the path yourself unless you feel called to do so. And then my last aspect is just carry a pocket talisman with you or a necklace. So it could be a small stone, a charm, a necklace, or even a little herb bundle. I always have my pentacle necklace on me at all times, and I try to make sure to charge it on my altar at least once a week to kind of remove any negative energy that built up on it, and then also just strengthen the shielding powers on the start of the week so that I have more strength as the week goes on. And it's amazing how something so small can help ground you during the chaos of life. Doesn't always mean you have to have it daily either. It could mean that you decide to take something with you on a day that you need a little bit more help. It could be that you have an interview or a doctor's appointment, or you just have a day out with the family and you want to bring a little bit more joy into that day. But I know that when life gets overwhelming, and let's be honest, it does quite often, you can hold this item for a second, take a breath, and remember your intention. It's like having a little pocket-sized altar, and it is a reminder that you can access peace and magic wherever you are. And that's what my necklace does for me. It's a constant reminder that magic is with me and I can call in peace whenever I need it. And so those were just a few ways I try to weave magic into everyday life, and also some things that I've been trying to incorporate more of because it's hard fitting it in, or just remembering when time is limited and you have a lot going on. None of them are overly complicated. It doesn't have to be hours of preparation. It can just be something to keep you slightly grounded, to bring in different intentions, to allow the magic to just be sprinkled throughout your day. And these small little actions remind me that I don't have to wait for a trip to Salem or a special occasion to feel connected to my spiritual path or magic. And that's what this podcast is really all about. Finding those little sparks of magic between the routines, in the chaos, and in those ordinary moments, because that's where the heart of the craft truly lives, in the chaos of every day, because we all carry magic within ourselves. We just need to remember to let it out occasionally. And so that is pretty much all the information I had for today. And I want to thank you for listening in. And if you made it to the end of the podcast, thank you so much. Like I said a little earlier, this was a little bit longer than I had planned. Typically, I want to keep them to 35 to 45 minutes, but I had a lot of information to share about Salem, about everyday magic. And I'm just so excited to be able to kind of get more into this podcast, feel a little bit more comfortable with recording it. And so what I want to do is just do a small grounding practice like I did the last time. It's something I'm going to try and do at the end of each podcast, just so we can ground, we can release energy and move on with our day, regardless of where you are. So where you are, just take a deep breath, close your eyes. And like I said last time, if you're driving a car, focus on the road and just let the word come through you to help ground you. Take a deep breath into your heart center and breathe out your heart center. Take a deep breath through your root and out your heart center. And take a deep breath through your crown and out your heart center. Now I want you to take a deep breath through all three areas and breathe out once more through your heart center. Imagine your roots growing deep into the earth and grounding you, stabilizing you, and allowing healing to happen as the terrestrial energy comes up through your roots, into your feet, up your legs, into your torso, through your throat, your third eye, and out your crown. And at the same time, a beautiful celestial energy coming through your crown, meeting your third eye, down to your throat, through your torso, down your legs, and out your roots. Imagine the light coming from the ground as a beautiful golden light, and the light from the sky, a beautiful silver light. And as both lights come through your body, allow that energy to heal and correct anything and everything that needs to be corrected. And allow your body to heal. Allow whatever does not serve you to be released. Take your hands above your crown. And with one more deep breath, sweep them over the front of your body, out past your legs, and into the earth. And say, I release what no longer serves me. If you are ready, you can open up your eyes, and hopefully you are feeling a little bit more grounded. And so before I end this, I just want to offer up a little journal or reflection prompt for you. And just think about this week. What is one small action you are already doing daily? And ask yourself, how can I make this magical? What is something that you are doing that you can add to it? Add intention to bring a little bit more magic into your day. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you join me next week when we talk about rituals and routines that stick. So kind of flowing off of this episode and really diving into how do you make a daily routine into a ritual? And ultimately, how do you make it stick? How do you keep with it? And how do you continue when things get a little bit chaotic or when things become too hard? How do you make it easier to keep those rituals in place? And so I want to thank you one more time for joining me on Cradles and Candles this week. I hope that today's episode inspired you to find a little bit more magic in your everyday life. And remember, wherever you are and wherever you are in your own journey, curious, learning, or fully immersed, you are never alone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with someone who might need a little magic today. You can also follow me on Instagram at Cradles and Candles for more guidance, inspiration, and community. So until next time, keep your candle lit, your heart open, and the magic alive.